the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a message, and as they come forward, we will sing our song, O Come Light the Candle.
Oh, come, light a candle, fill your hearts with peace. Seek a new dawning of God's just and true. Woe cease forever, enemies be friends. Oh, come and light a candle. Oh, come.
Right, I am going to tell you a story. It's an Advent story, and at the end you're going to tell me what they're getting ready for and maybe why you think Sophia's giving you a sticker. Who is coming to our house? Someone, says Mouse. Make room, says Pig. I will butt aside the rig. We must clean, says Lamb. Dust the beams, says Ram. How many of you are helping to clean up a little bit? Yeah. Okay. Who is coming to our house? Someone, says Mouse. Any guesses who's coming to this house? Yeah, baby Jesus. Sweep the earth, says Chick. Stack the hay, says Goose, and quick. Spin new webs, says Spider. I will line the crib with eider. You know what eider is? Those down feathers coming off the bird. Who is coming to our house? Someone, says Mouse. Someone's coming from afar. I will nose the door ajar. But it is dark, says Cat. They will never come, says Rat. Do you ever feel that way when you're waiting? That it's just taking too long? Yes, they'll come, says Mouse. Someone's coming to this house. I will lay an egg, says Hen. I will spread my tail for them. Who is coming to our house? Who's that right there? Mary and Joseph, whispers Mouse. Welcome to our house. And who else is with Mary and Joseph? Yeah, Jesus. So what were the animals doing to get ready? Were they cleaning up? Getting some food? The hen was laying an egg? Do those sound like things that maybe you do to get ready for people to come to your house? No?
Like it.
They're very honest. That's good. Well, so you're all getting an animal sticker, and that's to help you remember this story, that the animals become a part of the story of Jesus coming. Now, how many of you are hoping for a pig or a goat this Christmas? Anyone? Just thought I'd make sure you knew, okay? That may not always be the most convenient thing. Some of you may have, I think you might have room for pigs and goats, but that wouldn't go well in my house. Maybe some chicks or bees. Well, here, do you see what's all up here? bees and goats and, well, Bibles for a church and a latrine. Yep, that's an important thing, a place to go to the bathroom, right? How many of you are wishing for a latrine? No? Well, you might not be. You might not be. But you have been helping kids and families who are wishing and hoping for those things. And Sophia, here, let's give her the microphone first. Why don't you tell them what you do with World Hunger and who you brought with you today?
Hi, so for World Hunger, I'm an ambassador in Northern Colorado. So I go to different congregations and I teach them about World Hunger. And with me today is Sharon, part of one of 12 of the World Hunger team based in Chicago at Churchwide.
Yeah, and so Sharon has some things to share with you about these animals, this global barnyard.
We do call it God's global barnyard. I work for our church, and we help feed our neighbors around the world. And today, did you know that every 10 people, one person is hungry every day in the world around us? And so one of the ways that we work as church in 60 countries around the world, including the U.S., is through this ministry called ELCA World Hunger. And in some of our programs to help people with their food, we are really focusing on global farming around the world that Sophia has been just such an ambassador with. And it's been these animals. And I don't know if you want to pick out some of these, but chicks in Mexico make such a difference for a family. And what do chickens produce that you can eat? Eggs.
Eggs.
And what about bees? What can bees do for farming?
Make honey,
and they pollinate the plants. What about cows? What do cows do for us?
Milk.
Milk, and I'm not sure I can live without a hamburger. So, you know, we want to share what we have. God has given us so much, and we want to share with those because there's enough food in the world to feed the world. And we just thank you, our saviors in Fort Collins, all of you for being a partner with ELCA World Hunger. We're very grateful.
Yes, so far this year, the children, you have put about $500 in this offering.
Wow.
And then the
That's
money awesome. This whole congregation raised to send the high schoolers to Houston, they were able to donate about $1,200 when they got to Houston. So all of us have taken part in this. And if you'd like to purchase an animal ornament, our Outside the Walls team will be right out there in the narthex after worship. So.
And currently the goats are winning.
Oh, the goats are winning.
Yes. Goats are good.
The goats are winning. It's
they
a little competition.
The pigs.
So if you want another animal to win, you can go do that. Okay, so now we are going to light our candles of, do you remember what the candle was last week? Anybody remember?
No.
Hope. Candle of hope. And anybody know this week? Did you hear it in the song? It's peace. We're talking about peace. And these animals will bring hope and peace to people around the world. So go ahead and light our two candles, and then we will pray together. Oh, and there's these Advent calendars, too. If any of you didn't get them, there are some right here and back at the table, okay? You ready to pray with me? God of hope and peace, thank you for the gifts to this world. Help us remember these two lights of Advent. Keep us walking with you. Amen. All right, thank you for coming up. Thank you, Sophia and Sharon. We hear a lot of voices in our world today and pretty strongly in our culture. And the voice, particularly in this season, is often a voice that's whispering more. right? More. More to do, more to get, more to prepare for. But in Advent, while the voice of more possessions, more power, more status keeps speaking to us, there is still a voice from God. And God is also saying more. There is more grace, and there is more love and hope and peace as you walk with me. A couple of weeks ago, I was standing at the altar leading prayers of the people, and I noticed I could see right into the nursery pretty clearly. And it's now my new favorite part of the expansion, just that window that the nursery staff asked for. You know, not so much because I can spy on the children, although that could come in handy at some point, but because of the beauty and the reminder of preparation and welcome and grace that I saw that day. As we prayed, one of our nursery staff, Espen, who's a sophomore in high school, was walking gently in a circle, holding on to a baby, a young child, maybe 9 or 10 months old, and he had him supported strongly with one arm, and the baby's head was on his shoulder, and he was rubbing his back as he walked in circles. They were cuddled in. It was clearly a walk of comfort and patience. And then his arms started to sag a little bit. As we all know, babies can get kind of heavy. And another one of our staff, Sophia, walked in, and Espen smoothly passed the child over to her, and she resumed the gentle walk. Now, they thought nothing of it. I even talked to them after the worship service that day. It was a part of their work and their presence for the day here in this place. Now, some will say that while we welcome children in worship, and we do, and we want all ages here, all noise levels, all activity, that we shouldn't even have a nursery. But I would say that having this space is also a part of our welcome and our grace and our help for preparation for tired spirits when they need it. And what I saw through the window was holy. It was a holy moment to look out from the sanctuary, from the altar, the place that we designate as being holy in this room, and to see, as we were lifting up prayers, there was prayer in action happening right behind us. This is the breath of the Holy Spirit, the breath of welcome that was sent and infused in the smallest one among us that day by the simple act of care and grace. That little boy was being shown that the presence of God can be felt in the arms of our teenagers. And our young people in our midst are being shown that their presence and their patience and their connection to this place and us as people matters and is a gift. And we are all reminded that we are in the presence of the Holy even when we can't see her pacing circles behind us. This is not the first or the only or the last time that the Holy Spirit will decide to maybe bypass a little bit the places that we consider as holy. In the gospel today, Luke begins by naming all the important people and places. And this is intentional. He names the emperor and the governor and the rulers. I'm not going to say their names again because it's too hard. And he also names the high priests, the ones with religious authority. And he names John, the son of Zechariah, which, remember, Zechariah was a priest. And John is born to Elizabeth, who was supposed to be barren. And he is a miracle and a gift from God. And he is given this calling to be ready, to be prepared to announce Jesus Emmanuel, God, here with us. Now, Luke does all this to make a point that there were rulers and authorities, even ones of high regard in the synagogues. There were people to whom it would make more sense to first announce Jesus as ready to begin his ministry, to play the political game correctly and bring insight, wisdom, and honor to those who sat in positions of influence and power. And yet, The Holy Spirit of God does not do this, but goes past all the expected places and people and goes to the outside, to the wilderness, to John, who has been dwelling there waiting, standing in that gap between the words of the prophet Isaiah to prepare the way of the Lord, and Jesus, who has arrived and is coming to the people. Now, the wilderness is a place that we know some about in Colorado, and we know it as a place that can have two extremes, right? It's a place where, if you're not careful, you could get incredibly lost, turned around, end up struggling to find your way out. And also, we know the wilderness to be a place of beauty, of respite, and calm, as many of us head to the mountains for solace and peace. Now, the wilderness in Hebrew scripture is like that as well. It is used as a way to describe a place of desolation and scarcity, a place that's far removed from the conveniences and from other people. And it's also the place where divine inspiration comes and where the people find grounding, a sense of safety even, and a walk of peace. Think back that Moses led the people for 40 years through the wilderness, and there was a lot of discomfort with that. But it was also a place of God's action and God's presence with them. David, the king, runs to the wilderness to seek safety. And Jesus will later in life be led to the wilderness and be tempted by the devil, but come through to show again and again he is from the goodness of God. Isaiah describes wilderness as a place to cry out from and also as a place that will rejoice and blossom. So John is not simply out for a stroll in this wilderness. He's not there for a short amount of time. When we go back to the first chapter of Luke, we read, the child John grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. John's very grounding and calling and spiritual growth and assurance of faith came from what happened in the wilderness over a period of time. John becomes this leader and announcer of God, not by wheeling and dealing with the powers of the time, but by being open and listening, maybe even walking those small patient circles for the Holy Spirit to enter in. We today see scarcity, wilderness in the form of fear and death and violence and destruction. Sometimes really close up in our own lives and sometimes coming at us from the television or a newspaper or social media. And we can feel this wilderness and feel that our prayers are not being heard or answered and that the Holy Spirit is having a difficult time showing up where we think she should be. Luke here gives us a different story. As Luke continues through this gospel, he tells the story of the ministry of Jesus and how every time he is overwhelmed by the crowds or the needs or new issues arise, Jesus goes out to a deserted place to pray, to commune with God, to listen, maybe briefly, but fully. This is a story today for us that says sometimes you have to go into the wilderness to hear God. It's as if Luke is reaching into the 21st century and saying to us, you've got this. Whether the wilderness has been thrust upon you or whether you have walked into it willingly, you've got this. Sometimes that means we retreat in prayer alone, and sometimes we come together in prayer and praise and worship. And sometimes it's through our spiritual practices, our giving, our connecting with others and our listening. And sometimes it's through our willingness to pause and walk some small patient circles. And sometimes we need others to hold us firmly and let us rest our heads on their shoulders and walk with us. But always, this is where the Holy Spirit promises to meet us, between the promises of grace, through our baptism and the calling of our baptism to follow God in our everyday living, yesterday, tomorrow, and all those spaces in between, God does show up in big, loud ways that feel announced and life-changing. And perhaps even more often, God shows up in quiet, consistent ways that beckon us to notice and wander deep into what is right in front of us and continue to walk those circles and hold on to the vulnerable. And all of this is Advent. All of this is preparation for when we are called out of that wilderness to be the ones with the voices crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord." See, God is here and God will come again and again. We light candles of hope and peace today, two small lights that say to ourselves and the world, there is more. There is grace, there is love, there is hope and peace, even today. So let's sing, "Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord," again as we move into our time of sacred space.